Well, good morning, family, on this, the 24th of May. And here we are on the final Sunday of 2020, looking second last Sunday of May as we wrap up this particular month. And trust that you have been able to cope well and are sensing the Lord's presence in the midst of all that you're doing as we continue to cope with all the different restrictions. I want to start by giving you a couple of announcements. The first is that I am going to be here at the church on Monday and Thursday afternoons from 1 till 3 p.m. For patio visits. And, of course, this will be weather permitting. So bring a lawn chair if you wish, and I will certainly have copies of the Daily Bread devotional booklet if you haven't received one yet. And, of course, it starts on June the 1st. So do come around and happy to have a chance to chat with you. I want to thank everybody who's given me feedback from the sermons over these past weeks, especially last week. I had one person tell me that they have built a cairn of stones as a reminder of this time in 2020. I want to also give you an update on our birthdays for this week. And to Sheila, a very happy birthday for the 24th. And one of our summer gals, Ann Cisco, has her birthday on the 28th. We're looking forward, hopefully soon, as we get back here in the church. And also all our summer folks can join us. Our anniversary, the Golds, have their anniversary on May the 30th. So Joyce and Dan, happy anniversary. We also have an update on the baby bottle campaign. As you can appreciate, we're not doing it as we have done normally. We don't have bottles here to hand out. But you will notice as you read this screen that it is a virtual campaign. And you can go online to give or you can donate. And the phone number is there as well. And so feel free to contribute to the baby bottle campaign or our special centers in Collingwood and Barrie. We have some notes of praise. I appreciate what Richard has said here. He says, winter is done. Lawnmowers and shorts have finally replaced shovels, boots, and mitts. And I don't know about you, but 3 days ago, Calgary got some snow and freezing rain. So we want to keep it out there for Rob and Gail Simerson and families. And so hopefully we've turned a corner and we've planted vegetable gardens and different things. And so I trust that you're enjoying being outside. Just an update, Rebecca, our daughter, got a job working with Children of Frontline Workers in Barrie. And so she's glad to be back at work. Give us an update if there are any changes, any of you that have got jobs or you have updates that positive things that you would like to share with our church family. We're always happy to pass them along. We have some prayer needs. Many of you know Vi Hayes. Vi is now 94, and she will be undergoing surgery. She has a blocked bile duct, and so her daughter Debbie has been keeping us informed, and I want to thank May and Norm for being our main link with the family. And so let's pray for Vi as she goes into a very difficult week in some ways with this surgery. Leanne's daughter, Leah, and her husband, Lee, are being tested for COVID. And so Leanne will keep us updated on that. And many of you remember Bill Breathour. He was with us when the church first started back in 1998. Bill has passed away this week, and so we remember their whole family. Also give you an update, I was talking with Rhoda. Rob has been transferred down to the Rehab Center St. John's, which is in Sunnybrook, and he is quite excited because he has been partnered with another fellow from Wasega Beach who's also rehabbing together. So it's nice to hear that Rob has somebody that they're able to talk together with. So that, and Steve Norquay has asked for prayer for his knee. So we'll join in that as well. And so would you join with me as we pray? Father, I want to thank you for the day that you've given us, for a new week, for the opportunities we have to serve you and to live for you. Thank you again, the great reminder that you are on your throne and your Son sits beside you and intercedes for every one of us. Lord, we pray for those in authority over us, municipally, provincially, federally. And we pray, O God, that you would give them your wisdom, that fear would not be the ruling factor, but that your power would be displayed and people would make decisions that are for the benefit and for the upbuilding of all of us as a society. And Father, we pray that quickly we'll have the privilege of being able to meet together and worship as a family. And so we ask for that to come soon. We pray too for Vi this morning. We ask, O God, that as she waits for the surgery, that you will give her great peace and go successfully on Monday. We pray for these results to be accurate for Leanne's daughter and son, and that they will not have COVID. Pray for the Breath Hour family, that, Lord, you would be with them and all that they are going through with the restrictions they have, even for a funeral. And now we lift up Steve, with this pain in his knee, and we ask, O God, that you'll powerfully put your hand upon him, and that he would sense a great freedom from pain. And so for all of us, Lord, as we are heading into this new week, we pray that you would remind us that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And so may we be great examples and witnesses and ambassadors for you in this upcoming week. And we thank you now in Christ's name. Amen. The sermon title for this morning is Great and Mighty is the Lord our God. The other morning I awoke in the pre-dawn hours with this thought. This pandemic cannot limit us from worshiping the one true living God, our Heavenly Father, today. This pandemic cannot limit our opportunity to worship God. Now, we do miss worshiping our Heavenly Father together, as the very essence of our worship would not be a community, but in reality, the essence of our worship is individual. And Jesus himself said it in his opening discussion with the friends and neighbors that hear him. And we have it in the opening sermon that you find in Matthew, where he says in chapter 6, "But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask him." So did you get it? Go into where? Go into your room and shut the door. Individual, focus on the Lord. Now, aren't you glad that worship is not based upon getting to a specific location or genuflecting or bowing down to a specific statue or praying required sentences or mantras or chanting prescribed music or having to burn candles or incense in order to create some type of so-called necessary ambiance or smell? Think about the freedom we have in our worship. And so I want to remind you today of our great God that we worship. And I really want to start by stating what he's not, because I think we need to realize that we have and he's an amazing God. He's not a God that we have to yell and scream to in order to get his attention. And you might remember the story with Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17. And he took everybody up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he said, "If God be God, worship him." And, of course, the Baal worshipers were on one side of the fence, on the other, and the people didn't say anything. And so he had oxen cut and allowed the Baal worshipers to, quote, go first to call on their God. And that's exactly what they did. They took the bull that was given them in verse 26, and they prepared it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning to answer us. But there was no voice. No one answered. And they limped around the altar that they had made. At noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, "Cry aloud, for either he's musing or he's relieving himself." In other words, he's going to the bathroom, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he's asleep and must be awakened. And they cried aloud, and they cut themselves after their custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out upon them. And as midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation, but there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. Yelling and screaming didn't make any difference. Our God is not a God that we make out of wood with our hands and then burn time. Isaiah points out that even in his day, many people did exactly that. In Isaiah 44, we have the following. A man cuts down cedars. He chooses a cypress tree or an oak and lets it grow strong among the trees of the forest. He plants a cedar and the rain nourishes it. Then it becomes fuel for a man and he takes a part of it and warms himself. He kindles a fire, bakes bread. Also, he makes a god and worships him. He makes an idol and falls for it. Half of it he burns in the fire. Over the half he eats meat. He roasts it and is satisfied. And he warms himself and says, "Ah, I'm warm. I have seen the fire." The rest of it he makes into a god, his idol, and he falls down to it. And what does the scripture say? And he worships it. He prays to it and says, "Deliver me, for you are my God." They know not, nor do they discern, for he, our real God, has shut their eyes so they cannot see, and their hearts so that they cannot understand. Our God is also not a God who requires sacrifices. Now, use the word requires, sacrifices. Now, note this carefully, especially human. And we have in 2 Kings 17 something that is great. And the people abandoned all their commandments, all the commandments of the Lord their God. And they made for themselves metal images of two calves. And they made an Asherah, and they worshipped all the host of heaven. That's all the stars. And they served Baal. And then it goes on to say, and they burned their sons and their daughters as offerings, and used divination and omens, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. Now, what's interesting is Jeremiah makes it a little clearer, and we have this in Jeremiah 32 and 25. They built high places of Baal in the valley of the sons of Hinnom to offer up their sons and daughters to Moloch. And if you've ever researched the god Moloch, it's a huge metal statue with his hands out in front like this. And they heat up in the back. They heat up with fire, so that literally the entire statue becomes like molten red iron. And then what they do is they lay their children on his outstretched arms, and literally they burn to death in front of the people as they scream in agony. This was going on. I did not command them, nor did it enter into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Again, God that we worship is not expecting human sacrifices. So now let's look at who is our God. Our God is our Heavenly Father who what? Who knows us. I think one of the favorite Psalms I have is 139. And a couple of verses here that really appeal to my thought in this regard. You know, David, of course, talking about the Lord. Lord, you know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down. You're acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue. Behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. And then in verse 16, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. What do you read about our God who knows us so well? By the way, what do you think he thinks of abortion? Moving on, our Heavenly Father is a God who himself stepped into this world. What a God. The angel, of course, when the birth of Jesus was being announced and the shepherds received this pronouncement, the angels clearly and emphatically, as they sang and praised God and then said to the shepherds, fear not, for behold, what? I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Who's all the people? Everybody who ever has lived in the face of the earth and will live. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The God of the universe has just been born into the midst of your lives. Also, our Heavenly Father truly loves us. And I think it's important to stress these different points because I think when we're in isolation and when we're feeling very alone and I know many of you are feeling very scared or you're feeling very frustrated or you're just confused, you know, we need to remind ourselves of the facts of our belief and the reality of our belief. Even if we don't necessarily feel any cooperation with other people, it's hard when we're trying to go through this alone, but these are the things we remind ourselves of. We have a God, a Heavenly Father who loves us. For, as Paul said in Romans 5, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us. And what do you read there in the end of that sentence in verse 8? That while we were still sinners, Christ died for you and me. We also have a Heavenly Father who's very much alive and in charge of the world. I don't know how you're finding these days. I'm not sure who's in charge. I don't think anybody knows who's in charge, and I don't think people know if we're coming or going. So I need to go back to what the Scripture says, and I believe there's a God who's bigger than time and a God who's bigger than any nation or any culture or anything that ever occurs on the face of this earth. And so we have in Hebrews 1, 2, and 3, this great reminder. In these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, and through whom also he what? He created the world. He is the radiance of God and God's glory, and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. I love the word universe because sometimes we feel overwhelmed. We're just living on a little ball. God's got the whole universe covered. Have you thought about that lately? After making purifications for sin, Jesus then sat down at the right hand of the Majesty, our Heavenly Father on high. God's in charge. He's in charge. And then we need to remind ourselves that we have a Heavenly Father with whom we're going to live what? Forever. 1 Thessalonians 4 says it, and you know these verses so well. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will, what's the next word? Always be with the Lord. Always be with the Lord. And that's why Paul is able to say, so we are of good courage in 2 Corinthians, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord because we're going to live with him forever. That's a hope. That's our hope. And then the final point is we have a Heavenly Father who is worthy of our praise. So let's praise him as often as we want. And wherever we're sequestered, it doesn't require us being in a building. It doesn't require people leading us in music or playing instruments for us. This is about worshiping the Lord whenever and wherever and as often as possible. I mean, I think of the day when Jesus came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday riding on the donkey. And as he's drawing near to the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples, we're not just talking the 12, we're talking thousands and thousands of people that believe in him, they simply began to rejoice and praise God with what? A loud voice. And they praised him and rejoiced for what? All the mighty works that they had seen. And they said, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And he answered them, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." So as you head into this week, what's your intention going to be? Are you going to praise the Lord? Are you going to bless the name of the Lord? Or would you rather just have the stones praise him? Think about that. Because something will praise him. I don't know about you, but I want to be the part of those who praise him. And so I'm reminded of that song. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is he. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is he. Lift your banners, let the anthems ring. Praises to our King. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is he. Father, I want to thank you for the privilege of being able to talk about you today. And you are a mighty God. And the fact that you care so much about us is at times absolutely overwhelming. The relationship that you want to have with us every day is mind-boggling, that we mere people, you, the God of the universe, would care to want to walk and talk with us every day. And so in the midst of that, you don't have heavy demands. We don't have to chant and sing and yell and scream or anything else. You just say, praise me, enjoy me, sing to me, laugh, read my word, talk to others about my greatness. And so, Father, our plan today and this upcoming week is that we are going to praise you to the best of our abilities. We may not be able to praise you together as a group, but we're going to do our best to praise you and bless your name and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. And we need to remind ourselves, and we will do this too, that great and mighty is the Lord our God. And Father, there will be a day when we will all praise you together. In the meantime, if we have to go into our closets and into our rooms to praise and to pray, then Lord, we'll do that, and we want to meet with you. So bless each and every one of us, Lord, this day, those friends near and far as well, and may they sense your presence as we go forward into a new week, thanking you that you go before us, thanking you that you walk beside us, thanking you that you live within us, and thanking you that you're our rear guard. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.